good term for supporter, and when CC arrives, we'll acknowledge that. We have a quorum established with Bill Rice, Cecilia Montalvo, Lori Milieu, Iggy Fedorov present for the meeting. Currently, Cecilia Lomelli, our newest member, should be on our way from next door. There are two members of the public, Harry Farmer and Kathy Tanner, present. If you have any comments for items not on the agenda, now would be the time to come forward and make your comments. Hearing none, we'll go directly to the consent agenda, approval of minutes of the November 4th special board meeting and the November 18th regular board meeting. Does anybody have any comments to make about either of those minutes?
Move to accept.
Second.
Okay. Simone, yeah. would you do a roll call, please?
Yes. Iggy Fedorov?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Lori Milieu?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Thank you.
We just went through public comment, and we have another member of the public who's joined us. We can go back if you have any comments for items not on the agenda, Joseph. We would entertain that if you want to connect to audio. Okay, apparently Joseph has no input. Okay, then we'll go on to the reports part of the agenda, starting with the operations report by Tim Bennis.
Well, I know that everybody always asks, so I'll start with the month-to-date totals. We've had 64 incidences so far this month. 19 of them have been transports since the beginning of the first of the month. And then I guess the question that I always have, does anybody have any questions? Everybody's had a chance to read my report. Does anybody have any questions about anything on the report that I can answer?
I wanted to make one comment just so you know. On his report, he talks about the PPE and the P100 masks. Yesterday, he was able to secure another supplier and place an order for more of those masks. So that was a good thing. So we're getting more of the P100 masks for our crew's protection.
And they're the reusable ones. So, and I found them at a slightly cheaper price than the last bunch. The county still does not have access to P100s, but they are supplying us with another shipment of the N95 mask and the simple mask.
And are you happy about the results of the Board of San Luis Obispo County Supervisors meeting, Tim?
I'm very ecstatic about that. I'm happy to say that the prices, like I said in my last month, are locked in. The equipment that we need for the unit is here. So as soon as we take delivery of it, it'll go to Linton's to be measured for the decals. From Linton's, we're going to go to Ken's Body Shop. Ken's Body Shop will actually remove the light bars, paint the unit. Once it's done at Ken's, it'll go back to Linton's. It'll be decaled, and then it'll be placed in. Then it will go to Coastal Electronics, who will put the radios in, and it'll be in service.
And then, if I heard right, Linton's are doing the decal work?
Correct. And they're also going to do the decal down in the corner for the Cambria Community District, the Cambria Community
Council. Yeah, since the Cambria Community Council has paid for this through a grant, we are putting their decal on the back of the ambulance, and as Tim just said, lower left corner of the back doors. So it should be in operation, what, in about 45 days or so?
Yeah, should be 45 days or less. We'll have to do some training with the crews to make sure they understand how the four-wheel drive works. Most of our crews are inclined on how four-wheel drive works with that, with units and that, but there's going to be some that we'll have to have some review.
Okay, great.
And then there is one other addendum to my report. We did actually have an employee test positive for COVID. He was a part-time employee who was not at work at the district, but was somewhere else and did test positive, so he had to let me know. He's been quarantined. No other full-time employees or anybody else has tested positive.
So this employee did not have contact with any of our other employees?
He did have contact with several of our employees, but all the employees he had contact with tested negative.
Okay.
They followed all the protocols, and they were tested, and dodged the bullet.
Yeah. They've been tested multiple times.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'd like to formally welcome our newest board member, CC Lamelli.
Hi, thank you.
And glad you're here.
Thank you. I can't stay very long, but I'll try to stay.
Well, hopefully you can stay through your agenda item, which we put pretty much up front. Agenda, new business item 2. Okay, so we're through with the ops report. Anybody have any questions? Okay, let's go on to the administrator's report and financial review. Mike?
All right. So you have my report in front of you that you presumably reviewed. I'll just get the high points. You've got the statistics on COVID as of Thursday. As of last night, there's some updated statistics. Numbers are increasing, although again in this county we're doing relatively well relative to the rest of the state. Cambria as of last night had 53 cases, Sansing had 7, so for a total of 60. In the county, 52 deaths, 7,895 cases, 6,429 of those are recovered, 1,386 are recovering at home, 15 are hospitalized and 7 in ICU. So our ICU rate at this point that the state is measuring us on is at 44.4%, which is well above the threshold of 15%. Our county has thus petitioned the governor to be excluded from the region, the Southern California region, so that our businesses and so forth can are not as heavily impacted as they are in those southern counties. So we'll keep you apprised on where that is, but that's as of yesterday, that's the status. Our employees have, our paramedics are currently receiving training to give vaccinations for influenza and COVID when it becomes available here shortly. That is the county EMS petitioned the state EMSA for a expanded scope of their practice to allow for that, which came through. So I don't have any dates yet, but we're planning on having a local vaccination clinic of sorts, some kind of a setup. Still don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but we're working with the county to where the local residents in our district shouldn't have to travel to get to the vaccine. The initial doses of vaccine are going to go to the first tier, which includes our EMS personnel and some of the high-risk people like in the nursing homes. We don't have a lot of doses coming this month, but reservoirs are a pretty small quantity. But as they ramp things up, eventually we'll get to where we can give vaccinations to the general public, but I would not expect that until late February, early March, from the way things are looking. So I get a lot of calls almost daily and emails asking about vaccine for the public. It's coming, but not by Christmas. It's going to be, St. Patrick's Day, more likely. So the trust, we had another donation to our trust through the QGIV process, thanks to Cecilia Montalvo for $5.25. We had some more coming this month, which will be next month's report. Let's see, there's your balance. Going on to financial reports, you've got those in your packet. The tax revenue was less in November than we had budgeted, but it has since then rolled in December. So we're back up to what we were actually above what we had anticipated. So we're doing well there. Legal fees were over budget because we've had increased activity in that arena regarding the social media policy. Let's see if there's anything else. The rest of this is pretty self-explanatory. Call volume was down 15% in November. Transports were up 3% compared to last year. Revenue, and it is starting to come back up again. We had a dip the month prior, but now we're up 20% above budget and only 3% below last November. We got paid for the Monterey contract that was delayed. The Monterey contract was in arrears, but the check came in, so now we're back even with them, or they're even with us, I should say. Uniform was way over budget, but that was due to the safety equipment thing, and we got the check came in from Project Heartbeat, so we're back in balance there. And other than that, you can see my progress reports for objectives. Any questions?
I have some feedback on the your reporting on the objectives. I think something may have gotten a couple things may have gotten lost in here, and there's a format issue. So I don't think that when you look at the bottom of page 26, that I think that the development and implementation of an employee satisfaction tool is a separate item and should not have these other sub bullets under it related to finance and should be reported on separately. And I think that my other comment relates to the quality metrics. I think we had, the objective was intended to enhance current quality reporting and identify those national metrics that are being recognized in the ambulance industry and to see how many of those we could incorporate. So I think it was broader than just continuing what we were doing. So those are my two comments on the performance objectives. One, that employee satisfaction be broken out separately because it was, and then that the quality item just be interpreted a little differently.
Hey, Mike, can you break those out for next month?
Yeah, absolutely. And to say if I could email back and forth with you a little bit, I'd like to kind of pick your brain on that and get some more ideas.
Sure.
That'd be great.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then I'd like to say a comment. Community health centers will also be involved with helping with the community as far as vaccinations. We have also contacted the health department and we'll be working also to provide the vaccination for everyone here locally.
Nice.
Fantastic.
So networking system that we want to take in place for our community.
Yeah, once the vaccines really hit here in large quantities, I think it's going to be all hands on deck.
All of us need to help in front. We're definitely
thousands of people that are,
wanting to be vaccinated.
It's going to be interesting.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions about Mike's report? Okay. If none, then I'll move on to President's report. I have nothing much to report except that now that Cindy Steidel has been elected as the new president of the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors, I plan to reach out to her and maybe we can do a Zoom conference and reinstitute what Barbara started some years back and having the members of the heads of CCSD, CCHD, the school district, and the fire department get together and kind of see what we can do to help one another and see if there are any topics of common interest. Property and facilities, Lori Miller.
The committee did meet. We discussed the need for the dual band radio, and that, I believe, item E4 that Tim's going to present. We also discussed needs for improving the crew quarters, and we'll be working towards that starting in January, and also recommended that there was a concern for the crew that their ability to prepare meals was difficult given that they only had a hot plate to do that on. And so it had already been explored whether or not you could move a stovetop range into the crew quarter area. That was discussed previously and dropped, but we suggested that Mike and Tim go ahead with that at a cost of about $1,500, which hopefully will solve that problem. And other than that, we'll meet again in January.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Lori? All right, healthcare advocacy and outreach, Cecilia.
I couldn't decide if we, the committee itself did not meet, and we did, I think we did have, Mike, did we have a call of the community leaders forum since the last board meeting, or am I, did I already report on that?
You had one in November.
You had one.
Yeah, we did.
It was right after our board meeting.
And so the community leader forum did meet at the end of the month. This is in light of the new stay-at-home order, et cetera. Bruce Gibson also discussed with us some efforts that he is making to obtain some funding for the homeless, and we were able to, thanks to Kathy Tenner, if Kathy's still on this call, connect Bruce with a member of our community who would be able to be a good representative and liaison with the homeless community. But I think that's the full report.
Yeah, and just as an ancillary to that, we have separately met with a small group of people regarding food insecurities, and what was decided was that the Rotary Club, with their foodstuff provisions, as well as gift certificates for the Cookie Crock, were handling food insecurities for those that about 102 families in need through the end of the month of December. And then we will meet probably on the 2nd of January and determine at that point whether we need to start up the food project that the Lions Club spearheaded earlier this year.
Terrific. I was wondering about that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's why we're not doing anything right now, but I've applied to get $30,000 from the Cambria Community Council. I believe, although I can't speak for the president, Aaron Lynn, but I believe that the Lions Club has agreed in principle to match those funds and any other donations that come in up to about $30,000. And so that should help us feed those 100 families into February if it's necessary.
I think the other topic of potential concern, we'll see what happens, has to do with eviction. Just waiting to see what happens with the expiration of eviction.
Yeah, and hopefully something will get done here by the end of the week in Washington to carry that anti-eviction program forward. And just as an ancillary, probably our first action in January is going to be handing out money, cash to families so they can use that if they need to for utility bills or whatever they need to. In other words, not tie it to, say, Cookie Crock gift certificates, but actual cash. And then that gives us time to wind up the...
That's something that the Lions Club plans to take up in January?
Yes. That would be our first action, would be an actual cash outlay. At least that's what we talked about at our last meeting. And then after that, we would begin with the prepared food program. We were also told by Miguel Sandoval that cooking in whatever facilities are occupied by these various families is not an issue anymore. I didn't get into the details of why that is, but that's what he told me, or told us. Okay, any questions for Cecilia? Okay, hearing none. Finance, Bill Rice.
We did have a committee meeting earlier this month, and the main purpose of that meeting was to review the recommendation by the Property and Facilities Committee for the purchase of the portable radios. That was reviewed, and we were able to identify funds within the budget to cover the purchase of those, and that'll be covered later in the meeting on item E4.
Okay. Any questions for Bill?
I'd like to just make a comment on that, too, on the finance side of things. I meant to do it in my earlier report, but just so you know, too, the audit is nearing completion, the annual audit. It looks like it'll be wrapped up probably by tomorrow, if not early next week, as far as our part of it. And then the auditor says she's going to move things along pretty quickly after that. So I anticipate the January meeting I'll have a audit to present to the board.
That's fantastic, because that's probably 4 months ahead of any previous audit that I've known about for the last 4 years or so.
Yeah,
so good work.
Huge team.
Assuming there aren't any bad results. Grant, Lori.
The grant committee did not meet this past month. And we're still waiting for the announcement to come out from FEMA for the assistance to firefighters program, which I hear should be any day. So it's probably going to be our Christmas present.
I got an email yesterday late afternoon, early evening. It sounds like they may have actually opened up the grant stuff, and there should be some information flowing within the next week.
Oh, good. Nice.
Well, except that you couldn't access you couldn't log in because they were having a glitch with that. So, yeah, I'm thinking next week. And then we should have somewhere between 30 to 45 days to submit. So
I'll be in touch with you after the meeting with the information that I got.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thanks.
We did submit one grant application. It was very short time. I mean, we only had like a week to get it in, and we did. So that wasn't in the... We didn't have time to run it through the grants committee, but I talked to Lori about it. It was a state-funded grant that through the CSEA made me aware of, and it was, if we get the grant, it will allow us to put in solar power to our building here with a battery backup system. So that will put us as an environmentally friendly, sustainable power system for our services if we get that grant.
Did you not also put in a grant proposal to cover PPE?
Yes.
And other COVID-related expenses?
It's the third round of CARES funding for that. And it was $56,000, I believe. But, I submitted that about a week and a half ago before the deadline. Just now we're waiting.
Okay. Any questions from either board members or community regarding grants?
Have we received any of that CARES Act money to date yet?
We got some in the first tier, or the first round, and we're still waiting for the second and third. So.
Okay.
Waiting.
If nothing else, then strategic planning, Cecilia?
The Strategic Planning Committee did not meet, and I will address this at some point in the call, is that our intention, I believe, was to track our strategic planning objectives, probably not monthly, but at least quarterly. So I would be requesting later that just a review of where we are vis-a-vis the strategic planning objectives be on the agenda for a meeting coming up soon.
Okay. So you'd like it in January?
I would, if there's room on the agenda. I don't think it will take a long time, but I think it's important that, you know, we be looking at how we're tracking against those goals.
Okay. Any questions for Cecilia, either from the board or from the public? Hearing none, we will move on to the first agenda item, number E1, which is the election of the new board of directors officers. I think the agenda item is fairly self-explanatory. Any director may recommend a slate of officers to serve as president, vice president, and secretary for 2021. Until the next December board meeting. And at this point, I would entertain a motion that would be a recommendation for slate of officers.
President Fedoff, you may want to take public comment as well.
Okay. Is there any public comment with regards to this? Okay. Hearing none, hopefully we'll have a board member.
I would like to nominate as president Iggy Fedoroff, as vice president myself, and as secretary Lori Mulier.
Second.
Okay, Cecilia seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, I would like to put that to a vote then. Simone, would you take a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Iggy Fedoroff?
Aye.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Lori Mulier?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Cecilia Lomelli? Yes.
Okay. All right, moving on to the next item. Cecilia Montalvo. I'm sorry, Cecilia Lomelli. Oh, this is going to be fun.
Lomelli.
Cece.
So,
this is your agenda.
Thank you. So I would like just to, if I could, recommend to the board that we could please move meetings until the evening time to meet pretty regularly per month, at least 5:30, maybe 5:30 or 6. We're in a pandemic. I'm very busy. We have lots of patients that we see on a daily basis. I work full-time, and therefore I cannot attend meetings during the day. In fact, I have to leave in about 2 minutes. So I apologize for that, but I would like to recommend and ask to the board if that is a possibility. I was a representative in North County Advisory Meeting for 5 years, and my meetings were at 6:30, which I had no problem. Yes, things came up, but 99% of the time, I was at my meeting. So that is my my issue today, is that if you would please allow these meetings to come in the evening, where basically I work full time, and I cannot attend meetings during the day. In fact, example, last month we saw over 800 patients at community health centers. And we are not, we're in the pandemic, and now we're getting ready for the coronavirus vaccines, and now we're getting ready to get patients, you know, set up for their flu vaccines and their other mm-hmm. vaccines that they need. So we're just trying to prepare and be ready to accommodate our community. So I'm just asking that the time be changed. That is my
I have a question with regards to the time period for this to be in effect. Let's say that the pandemic is down to a dull roar by, say, next October or November. Would you be willing then to return to our more normal 9 o'clock in the morning start?
You know, I continue to work full time. I'm not planning to retire, and I'm not planning to take less patients. So therefore, I mean, I don't know what I could do at 9 o'clock in October. I could revisit that, you know, that issue. But I came aboard to this healthcare district to provide with you my experience and what I can offer you. So I'm more than willing to work on this board and do what I need to do. But I also, my number one priority is to serve my patients. And that's my priority at this time.
Okay.
So that's all I can offer at this point.
Do I need directors?
Is there a specific? I'm sorry.
Lori, go ahead.
Is there a specific evening that works better? Doesn't the North Coast Advisory meet on Wednesday evenings? And I'm not sure when the Lions meet, so.
Yeah, Lions, once the pandemic has passed us, the Lions will start meeting again. But right now, the Lions are not meeting. But they would normally meet on Tuesday evening.
Okay.
What evening?
I have 4-H that I still continue with my kids. So a Tuesday or a Thursday would be fine. My 4-H kids, I can, you know, I have set times with them, but I meet with them by Zoom at this point.
So Thursday would be okay.
Thursday would be fine for me. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Do any members of the public wish to weigh in on this?
President Fedorov, if I might ask for clarity on what, are you talking about Thursdays, the third Thursday every month?
Yes. I believe that's what we're talking about here, correct, Cece?
Yes, that would be fine, the third Thursday of every month.
In the evening?
Yes.
Well, yeah, and I think we would try to start as early as possible, 5:15
right.
or 5:30.
Yeah, 5:30 would be ideal if I could, please.
Any other discussion by any board member? Okay, hearing none, I would entertain a motion to change the time of the meeting starting in January to be starting at 5:30 on the third Thursday of the month.
President Fedorov, just to ensure that I'm available, San Simeon, who I also represent, moved their meetings to Thursday recently. If you would consider it, could I just double check on my what day of the month they're doing it? If it's third Thursday, I want to make sure I don't have a conflict.
Okay.
Would you mind holding on this item for 5 minutes?
Sure.
Thank you. I'll check.
I have to go to work.
Oh. Well, then if you'd like to take a vote, go ahead and take a vote. No.
Well, why don't we, yeah. Steve,
do you want to vote on your thing real quick?
Yeah.
Vote, yeah, you're
right. I'll vote.
Yeah, we'll okay. vote.
I, Cecilia O'Malley, make a motion that the meeting be changed to 5:30, the third Thursday of each month. Thank you.
Second.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, Lori Miller seconded. Obviously, Cece is going to vote yes.
Yeah, she said yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Let's take a roll call then.
Okay. Iggy Fedorov?
Yes.
Bill Wright?
Yes.
Lori Miller?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's move on to then the next item, which is item E3, regarding draft district policies presented for consideration of approval. Mike?
Just a second.
And I will take my hat off. Of course, I'm not wearing one, but I'll take an imaginary hat off to anyone who clicked on the link that was provided to read the 100 pages or so of the draft policies.
Yeah, we've been working on the policies for some time. And thanks to several board members who assisted with that. And I took all of the edits from the various board members and put them all into one document, a clean picture of it. And it's on that link. It's a little over 200 pages, but essentially it's what you've already seen, just packaged into one smooth list. I also added to that some requests to create or draft a volunteer policy for volunteers here at the district with a volunteer job description also, which that is attached to your packet as attachments 2 and 3. This satisfies requirements or needs for identifying the role and responsibilities of volunteers and who they answer to and that kind of thing.
There had been a concern raised by one of the district's employees, as well as I think from the board, that we didn't have a volunteer program policy. And assuming we approve this today, then we will.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a question. In regards to the volunteer signing off, saying that they've read the policy, does that include members of the community who might be participating on one of our committees?
I don't think as a committee, Jeff, you could probably clarify legally, but I don't think as a community member being on a committee, they're a volunteer. This would be more along the lines of if we have, a special project, an outreach project, once COVID is over at the Veterans Hall and we have some local community volunteers who want to sit at a table and hand out brochures, they would be special event volunteers or administrative volunteer that wants to help out in the office with routine tasks, things like that. I don't think it extends to community members on a committee. Jeff, do you?
I would think it would not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions with regards to any policies?
My only question on the volunteer policy was, and forgive me because I am driving, but I think it was on the first page, there was a reference to a volunteer helping to prepare billing statements.
Yeah.
I would have thought that would be inappropriate for a volunteer. Is that actually intended to be in there? I don't think that volunteers should be helping to provide to do billing.
I think they would not have any access to finance information, but Simone.
Well, in order to bill, you have to have information regarding patients. There's just a million reasons why I think that's a bad idea.
Right.
Okay. Simone, you're the one that is being assisted. What do you envision or what has been the practice for doing billing statements by the volunteers?
Most of them go electronically, but the ones that do go by paper, I do everything. I've never had anybody else handle them.
It is addressed.
So we could take that out.
Yeah, I'd actually specifically like to ask that be called out as being something that a volunteer will not do.
Okay.
It is covered. It's on the attachment 3 under the job description, essential duties and responsibilities, the second paragraph. Administrative volunteers, answering phones, routine filing, organizing, working the front desk, preparing bills for mailing, and interacting with the public in a variety of ways. Administrative volunteers will not have access to patient, human resource, legal, or financial records.
But Mike,
yes.
May I say, Mike, that if they're helping prepare the bill to be mailed out, then they are accessing information that lets them know who a patient is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to
remove
preparing bills for mailing.
Yeah, I can strike that.
Correct.
Okay.
And then we'll go back into the attachment 2 and find where it talks about billing and modify that as well. Correct, Mike?
Yes.
All right. That's so subject to that one change, I would entertain any more discussion. Okay, then I would, are there any comments from the public with regards to the policies that have been described here? I will say this is the first time that the district has had written policies, to my knowledge, in modern history. So I commend Michael on this achievement.
I've had a lot of help. Thank you.
Okay,
thank
I would
you,
entertain
Mike.
A moment.
Yes.
I would entertain a motion to accept the policies as modified in this recent discussion with the volunteer policy.
So moved.
Okay. Bill Rice moves. Do I hear a second?
Second.
I think that was two.
I don't understand what we're, can you explain what we're moving to approve exactly?
The 100 pages or so of district policies.
Does that include the social media policy?
Not yet. That's a standard operating procedure.
That's different.
Okay.
That's separate.
Great. Just that's what I was checking on. I'm good.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, the SOPs are normally not approved by the board, but in this case, on the social media one, we are taking exception and acting as the approval authority. Okay, so it does not include the SOP.
Correct.
So it's been moved by Bill Rice. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Lori.
Okay, that was Lori.
Yeah.
All right. Simone, would you take a vote, please?
Yes. Iggy Fedoroff?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Lori Millior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
And CC Lamelli is absent, so it's a 4-0 vote. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to agenda item E4. Mike, go ahead. Or I guess maybe Tim is going
to
run this.
I'm
going
to pass this to Tim. Yep. This is his baby. He's done a tremendous amount of work on this. It's really nice.
Tim, could you move into the
sure.
Visual line of sight here? Thank you. I guess now that Cece's gone, you guys can take your masks off because you're the cohort that works together all the time.
We're family.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this proposal is for us to switch our radios from our current radios that we have to a dual band radio. So as I've tried to explain to both the committees, what we're essentially doing is we're taking 20 radios and consolidating them down to 9 radios. It's going to allow the crews to have the ability to speak with everybody they need to speak to at any given time on any incident. They're expensive radios, as you can see by the total for 9 radios with the equipment, the radios, the charger, all that. The other thing that this proposal is doing is bringing the radios up to the new code that will be coming out in 2021. There's going to be encryption. There's going to be what they call P25 trunking. It's really technical, kind of crazy stuff that I could go into if you really want to hear it, but if you probably don't. So
basically, we won't be in compliance sometime in 2021 with our current equipment.
Correct. And the current radios, we bought a, we were able to get four radios, but those radios were the bottom line radio to even get some that were working, and they're not able to meet the requirements that would come out in 2021.
Kim presented this to the Property and Facilities Committee and the Finance Committee, who have, they made recommendations, and perhaps they'd like
to. Yeah, and I would like to add that under the last administration, before the new board came on, there had been a grant available for new radios. And in a sense, because they didn't apply in time, we were left for a while behind. But with this new dual band radio availability from Motorola, and only Motorola, as far as I know.
Correct. I've checked with all the other distributors that are allowed to be on emergency or agency frequencies. There are other dual band radios, but they're not licensed to be on the frequencies that we operate on.
Okay, so basically it's a single source, and even being a single source, Tim managed to negotiate them down so that we could afford 9 radios, which I think is absolutely fantastic, a job that Tim did for us. So we're able to get 9 radios instead of for, I guess, 53,000 or 54,000. We're getting them for about 48,000.
Right.
So is there any other question or discussion by any of the board members or members of the public?
I think Bill Heather.
I would like to make a motion that we approve the acquisition of 9 Motorola portable radios as described.
Second.
Okay, Cecilia seconded. Simone, would you take a roll call vote, please?
Iggy Fetteroff?
Yes.
Bill Ryan?
Yes.
Lori Melior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so it passes 4-0 with Cece Lamelli absent. Moving on then to item E5, which is the social media policy update. Mike, do you want to take this,
yes,
or since we have Bill Avery with us?
Yeah, I'm going
to. Bill would like to talk about it.
In short order, we wanted to give you an update of the status of this project. And anyway, I'll let Bill and Jeff both have input on this, the current situation or status.
Bill, could we see you?
Probably not. I've been having trouble with my camera.
Oh, okay. We'll accept that.
I don't know if it's my camera or my age. One of the two. Something in there. By the way, I've read all 200 pages of your policies. Helps one to sleep at night. Hey, yeah, we've been meeting regularly with SEIU on social media policy. This is an issue which has taken on a life of its own. They have fears what we're going to try and do, which we have no intention of doing. They think we want to take possession of their phones, that we want to own all the photographs on them. None of that's true. And we're just trying to make sure they understand what our goals are. And once this is done, it'll be done very soon, I think. We'll probably never talk about it again. I don't think it's going to be much of an issue. Jeff, are you there?
Oh, he's muted.
You got to unmute.
I am here.
There you go.
Okay. I know you talked with Robert. Anything you want to add?
Yes. I spoke with SEIU representative Bob McLeod yesterday, and it does appear that I think Mr. Avery's characterization that this has taken a life of its own is correct. It appears to be become a bigger deal than I think it really is. But I think we would like to work with the union to get an agreeable policy, at least at this point. If it has to come up in a couple years when the MOU discussions begin again, maybe we could revisit it at that point. But at this, but as of today's, for today's purpose, I think getting an agreement together that is agreeable with the union and your board is probably something that we can achieve. We probably just need to work through it a little bit more.
I'll actually try and set a meeting with them next week so we can't get a final wrap on this. I sent actually Bob some additional changes today, which aren't really substantive, but maybe we'll deal with their, shall we say, paranoia. But I haven't heard back from him. I sent it to him about 7 o'clock this morning.
Two things I want to comment on. One is that I did invite Bob to attend this meeting so he could address the board. According to my screen, he is not logged on, so that did not occur. The second thing is I'd like Jeff just to explain to the board the consequences if the board takes action today instead of giving us a little more time to work on this.
Sure. Well, President Fedorov, directors of the board, SEIU's representative Bob McLeod did indicate to me that they would take formal action, potentially a PERB complaint. If your board took action today, they would view this as a change to their terms and conditions of employment and not through a meet and confer process. Whether or not that would in fact occur, I don't know, but he did indicate that they would take formal action, and that's how serious they view this issue. So I don't see any real reason for your board to take action today, if you can give us a little extra time.
Any comment by any board members?
I'm just curious if you could give us a little bit more color on what it is we're working on.
Is that directed to Mr. Avery or myself?
I really don't care.
I can take a run at this.
I did send out the latest draft that Bill presented to Bob a couple of days ago to the board members. I don't know if you got a chance to look that over, but that's the current draft on the table, but Bill's still working on, you know, it's a living document.
Yeah, they've had continuing fears that we're trying to take possession of their cell phones and the contents thereof and control their ability to have their own website. They have already implemented what we had asked for, which is that anything that they put out is identified as coming from them, not the district. They've already agreed to restrictions in terms of not doing anything which would compromise patient confidentiality or provide locations or license plates or any of that. So they've agreed to all that. That's probably what we're most concerned about. There's a few other things which they have heartburn over, which they probably shouldn't, but it's something we can work through.
Yeah, I mean, our basic concern is that they not be using their cell phones at accident scenes.
Yeah, that language is still in the draft.
Yeah, and that's the only thing. I mean, they can still take a photograph as long as it's with the district's tablets, and that's in a secure form.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay. Well, I would then suggest to the rest of the board that we take some more time as it's been requested. And I take Bill Avery's word that we'll get there as a positive sign. And I think, Jeff, do you agree that we'll get there?
I do agree.
I have one additional comment on the draft that was circulating. And this is a topic that we've discussed already, so I'm not sure what happened. But on the first page, under section 10.08.075, there's a reference there that says employees and the board of directors are advised that their speech directly or by means of instant technology is not, I can't do this and drive at the same time, but I believe that...
Yeah, I think, and the board of directors has to be struck.
That should not say the board. That's correct. Thank you.
Yeah, but the SOPs don't govern the board of directors.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah,
I missed that because we had struck that before and somehow it got back in and I missed it. There's a couple of typos, you know, later on, and I've advised Mike of them. The only important typo is that instead of the word access, the term assess was used, and that's in 10.08.200 sub 5 sub E, second line. It says, intentionally using or developing programs that disrupt other computer users or which assess private or restricted portions of the system. I'm sure you meant access.
Yes.
Got it.
Other than that, there were typos. An extra of and a double period. Okay, so unless I hear objection, we will table this until the January meeting. Hearing no objection, we will do so.
Did you take public comment on this?
I will now.
Thank you.
Thank you for the reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Any public comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item E6, which is the primary care project, where we are discussing the draft RFP, which somehow didn't get into my board packet that I picked up yesterday.
This agenda item has two sections. One is the RFP itself, and the second item is a independent contractor agreement for a individual who's been identified who could do well, let me take a step back. That where we left our project was that we wanted to consider any and all options that may be available to increase the number of choices available for district residents to receive primary care. And those included any number of operators who may be interested in expanding their presence in Cambria San Simeon, or the possibility that the district could directly operate primary care services. It's on the latter topic that, in particular, that Walter Kopp would be engaged to show us. He has a lot of experience in setting these up, both for rural clinics as well as for districts in terms, would be able to give us a financial and regulatory picture of is that a feasible option or not, and what that would cost. So that is the second item. The first item, the RFP itself, I have not, other than Iggy, I've not received any additional feedback from the board on the RFP itself. Our timetable would call for the RFP to be released in January. I'd like to give the board the additional time to make any comments if you do have some. But we do want to approve the release of the RFP in January. I have some minor work that I want to do on it, but still expect it to be ready along with the mailing list in January. So with that, I am not asking to approve the RFP per se. I do ask the board if you have additional feedback to
try and get that to me, and then I would, we are seeking, the independent contractor agreement has been reviewed by legal. All of the changes that were requested to the agreement were made.
Well, except for one. And that one, I think I have a very simple solution for. In paragraph 4, compensation, if we insert the word client in all caps in front of pre-approved expenses, I think we'll be all set.
Okay. I was unaware there was an outstanding issue there.
Well, Jeff had commented on the draft that there ought to be an individual designated that would do pre-approval. And he had suggested Mike and then maybe at a certain dollar level of the board. But I think at this point, we should just leave it that the...
Leave it with Mike, I would think.
Leave it with Mike.
Yeah. And Jeff, his recommendations were all reviewed. I'm not aware of them expressing any problem with that. So if that solution satisfies Jeff, I don't think that the contractor has any issues at all.
So you're okay with inserting the word client in front of pre-approved, and that would satisfy it? Because at the end, client will be Mike McDonough. Correct, Jeff?
I think that client pre-approved, yes. It's just that your board has been authorizing Mike to make those the approvals of expenses. So that would just be understood.
Yep. Okay.
I would like to talk about compensation for a moment here. In a previous board meeting, we approved $10,000 for this consultant. And I just want to make sure that we have sufficient controls in place that if we start to approach the $10,000 mark and the consultant needs more time and therefore more dollars, that before that additional work is performed, that this issue comes back to the board for the approval of additional funds.
Absolutely.
Okay,
I think that's right. And I would note, I think that the up to 10,000 was actually also intended to cover possible legal fees. So we should definitely keep a close eye on that.
Okay. I don't think we need a change in the independent contractor agreement, but we have to have understanding by the consultant that we have only $10,000 allocated to this project.
I actually don't. I'm happy to discuss and ask him to keep track. I'm as I indicated, I don't think that the $10,000 was fully intended to go to this consultant. So I think. Let me think this through. I think perhaps the best way to do this is more in the way we're managing them is just to ask Walter to periodically let us know how many hours, for example, XYZ will take so that we just keep very close track on the board approval that was already issued. Putting a number to him and saying, oh, we have $10,000, I didn't mean for that to all go to him, and I'd rather manage it more carefully than that.
Okay, I think you can put that in a cover letter transmitting an approved independent contractor agreement. Well, actually, transmitting the independent contractor agreement to him for signature, and when he signs it, he'll understand that, and then when it comes back to Mike for client signature, then we will have a binding agreement and a cover letter that explains how it will be administratively handled.
Sounds good.
Jeff, does that seem reasonable to you?
Completely reasonable.
Okay. So then I would entertain a motion to accept the independent contractor agreement with the one change that was discussed, and with the understanding that the cover letter will explain the administrative controls that will be required of the contractor.
So moved.
Okay, Bill Rice moves.
Second.
Cecilia, yeah, I think Cecilia seconded, I think.
That was me, yeah.
Okay. Simone, would you take a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Iggy Satteroff?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Lori Millior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Hey, I think we're, let me see here. Hey, we're at the end of our regular business. Declaration of future agenda items. Oh, sorry. One thing, I guess we have not asked Jeff. Are you okay with the 5:30 third Thursday meeting?
I was just texting Mike about that. I do have a conflict on the third Thursday, but I suggested to Mike potentially, if it works for your board, the fourth Thursday of the month.
I would actually prefer the second, at least in January, because I do not want to wait till the end of January to get the primary care RFP out. So either we're going to need a special meeting, or I would ask that it be the second.
And if we did, the third Wednesday.
Thursday, right?
Yeah, yeah, but Wednesday. I'm saying, yeah. If we did the third Wednesday, then Jeff wouldn't have a conflict. And we just have to see if Cece, what, did she say anything about what? Sorry?
I thought she had 4-H or it was North Coast or there was something, some reason why we were not doing Wednesday.
You're right.
So I think it was whether or not we, which Thursday we selected. I think that's kind of where we were. She didn't seem to have a problem with any particular Thursday.
We wouldn't have a problem with third Tuesday, and I don't think she had a problem with third Tuesday.
Let me see.
Okay. Yeah, Tuesdays were okay for her.
Third
Tuesday. Jeff, you have any?
I'm looking. I've put together a cheat sheet here. I don't want to. Tuesday.
Be the 19th of January.
What if we went to the fourth?
I agree with Cecilia that we don't want to move it to the fourth. The
third Tuesday.
Too soon.
Third Tuesday. That would work.
Great.
Hope I'm right.
Cecilia,
right.
Do you need to move sooner than that?
Do I need to what? Yeah, I mean, ideally, we would meet sooner, but
wait a minute.
You know, maybe we discuss this offline and determine whether or not a special board meeting is.
I was going to suggest, what if you did a special board meeting on the second Thursday of January for your topic?
You mean for the RFP?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the regular
that's
meeting.
Fine.
And then we move the regular meeting to the fourth Thursday.
No, fourth.
Well, there was another meeting on Tuesdays, you said, once things get past COVID.
Lions Club takes second. I mean, Lions Club, I think, meets the second and the fourth Tuesday of the month. So third Tuesday of the month should be fantastic.
Okay. That works.
Third Tuesday.
Right. So let's have a revised motion. We'll cancel the other vote.
Okay.
And I would accept a motion to have the meeting starting in January on the third Tuesday of the month, starting at 5:30.
Okay. That works.
I know, but I need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Lori moved. Cecilia seconded. Simone, would you take a roll call, please?
Yes. Iggy Fedorov?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Lori Melior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Okay. Approved 4-0. So it'll be fourth Tuesday. So now I will entertain... Third Tuesday.
January 19th. You still, with Cecilia, with that, do you still need a special board meeting before that, or will that work?
Yes, I think we're going to want that. And if it's okay, let's plan to schedule that as we get closer to January. Is that all right? We don't need a board action to call a special meeting right now, do we?
No.
So let's just plan to do that. But yes, I will still want to have a special meeting earlier in January to get this out the door.
Okay,
ask if people have any other feedback. Has this been reviewed by the legal counsel?
I'm sorry.
The RFP.
I will look at it. I reviewed the contract. I don't know that I reviewed the RFP. I don't believe I did.
Okay, yeah, because we will absolutely want that, so we're ready to go.
Thank you.
I'm going to suggest Thursday, January 14th at 5:30 for your special board meeting.
Can we not schedule this right now?
Just a suggestion for further discussion.
Okay.
Plant the seed.
We'll arrange it later. So now I'd like to move on to declaration of future agenda items. What I have so far is strategic planning status on the January agenda. Cecilia, do you want you to have that as a primary?
Sure.
Okay, then the RFP will also be yours for the primary care RFP. And then the SOP for social media, and then the identification of new committee chairs and members. At this point, I would propose that the update that I provided back effective December 4th goes forward goes forward into 2021. But think about the assignments and send me an email if you have any issue with it in a few days. If I haven't heard anything, or if I have and I've changed it, I will come out with a proposed committee setup for the new year, and then in January we'll simply ratify it. Does anybody else have any other items? Will we be ready to have anything about the audit by then? Probably not. Bill, normally in January we do a mid-year review. Will we have a finance meeting that we want to then bring to the board at that time?
I don't know at this point, Iggy, because we need the December results, financial results, and then run that through the budget modeling before we can have a meeting, before we can bring it to the board.
Okay. So we may or may not be ready.
Correct.
But by mid-December, when we set the agenda, we should know. So mid-January. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Any other items? Okay. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate it. And
thank you.
We will set the next meeting for the 19th of January at 5:30 p.m.
Safe travels, Cecilia.
All right. Thank you. Take care, everybody.
Happy holidays. Hello.